Good evening, everyone. I call the May 23rd, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman McElroy, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Good evening, everyone. Good afternoon. We are now on to general communications. This is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Do any members of the council have anything under general communications? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to executive communications. There are none. So now we're on public comment. So last call, there's a sign-up sheet on the podium here if you would like to speak at this time. So Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The period of time for the public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that there is not more than six citizens are signed up and present. The 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. So we have seven individuals who have signed up to speak tonight. I'm going to make a motion that we just allow everyone up to 5 minutes, just two additional speakers. It's budget night. And is there any objection? Second, thank you. That's a motion and second. Any objection to that? Okay, hearing none. We will start and all seven individuals will have up to 5 minutes. The first speaker this evening is Richard L.
Are we alive? Yes. I'm going to speak about the airport. There's been some major developments with the airport. They've taken over Fieldview Drive, and they're tearing up the road. The city administration gave permission to do this, and I believe that it was in good faith. But at the same time, we need to follow the rules. The rules are that you go to the planning board, you get their permission, you go to the city council, all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm talking about. However, the most important thing is we all need to remember that the airport is for the people. The airport's for us to fly out and have our friends fly in. We need to have adequate parking at the airport. They're taking away the parking. This spring, I went to Bradley Field during spring break. The airport parking was full. I parked about 3 miles away. I went to Logan Airport. Airport parking was full. I parked 5 miles away. At Green Airport, at this point in time, the same thing is happening. And now Breeze Airlines is being given about $10 million by the state of Rhode Island. Don't believe that the airport's not supported by the public. It is. You know, just yesterday, they announced about a $10 million grant to Breeze to come and put more flights in. Okay, that's okay. But we need a place to park. Channel 10 said there's going to be 1 million passengers a year at the airport. Where are the people going to park? Instead, RIAC management wants to make this into a freight airport. They want to bring in Amazon. The mayor is fighting back. He's saying, we don't want trucks on the city streets. What's forgotten is when FedEx goes to the south side of the airport, then Amazon will come into the north side of the airport, and all their trucks will be going up and down through the city streets. We need to think smartly about this. Let's have the airport for the people, for passengers. That's why it's here. This is not supposed to be a freight airport. And I would encourage the city council to have the president of RIAC come to the meetings to describe why he's doing this. There's going to be a planning board meeting in a couple of weeks where, believe it or not, the planning board threw out his survey because they took somebody's land. One of our poor people, he's a nice guy. He's got a nice piece of land. He's been there for 40 years, and he wants to stay there. And what does the airport do? Comes in and takes some of his property. That's just not right. So anyway, the planning board said, go back and redo the survey. So what does the airport do? Just takes a street. Now all the neighbors are all riled up. You know, they're saying, oh, we don't have a place to walk our dogs. You know, they're taking our street away. It's a public street. You can't abandon a public street that has public use. So I think the people are finally waking up. They don't need the berm that they're building. They want the berm so that it can bring in more planes. That's the only reason for it. The berm in front of the warehouse, fine. If the warehouse goes in, that's okay. But the berm by Palace Avenue, no, that's for more parking of airplanes. We need to be real about this and say we need parking for the people, for their cars, so that they can come and go, so that they can enjoy the airport. We put up enough with the noise. We ought to be able to use the airport. And they just ignore all this. And then the worst case is they're planning on building a rotary. Right? It says at grade level. The trucks can't get under the overpass at the rotary.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Langseth.
They're going to spend thousands on a design that's going to end up in nothing because the trucks simply can't get under those bridges. Check it out. I put my machine up there and I found out the bridge is only 10 or 11 feet clearance. Trucks are 13 feet. It just doesn't make any sense. But it does make sense. Because what the airport's going to do, they're going to come back and say, well, we can't do the rotary, so we're just going to put the trucks down Strawberry Field Road. Don't worry about it. The trucks are going to be on the city streets. That's the way it's going to come down. And I do thank you for having the whole 5 minutes. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Bob C.
Good evening, former Councilman Robert Cushman. Day of Reckoning's coming to the city of Warwick, and I think anybody who understands basic planning for an expenditure that's going to eventually grow to $500 million to build two new high schools doesn't need a crystal ball to see the financial crisis that's going to envelope this city within the next 4 to 5 years because of total lack of planning by city and school leaders. a citizen with the level of debt that Warwick is going to have is going to would be considered credit risk. And most likely, when we look at construction of schools throughout the state of Rhode Island, the $350 million is not going to be enough. We could be required to be $40, $50, $60, $70 million more maybe in bonding. And there is no plan and no one's presented how we would pay for that. Spending has increased an average of $8 million each year over the last fiscal years. The fiscal 2025 budget contains a structural deficit of $5 million. The new norm in the city is for budget gimmicks to conjure up new money. Get ready for traffic cameras that are going to produce $25,000 in new tickets a year so we can raise $2.5 million in revenue. Finance Director Peter Schaefer told the Warwick Beacon, the evidence shows that the money raiser, it is a money raiser and it works. What happened to public safety? The finance director has also found hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I equate it to my grandfather. When he used to come over the house, he used to look in the seat cushions for nickels and dimes, and that's what we're doing in the city. I got to give him credit. He did find a lot of money, but that is one-time money. It's also a structural deficit. The school department's oblivious to the massive new tax increase that will await taxpayers. How do you explain an $8.2 million raise for teachers over the next 3 years to maintain labor peace? They abdicated their most important responsibility by allowing a non-elected bureaucrat to negotiate the teacher's contract with no consideration to all the expenses facing taxpayers. And it's also disingenuous for school leaders to ignore school bond debt like it doesn't exist because it's in the city budget and it's not in the school budget. It doesn't matter what budget these expenses are being recorded. Warwick taxpayers will be required to pick up the tab through massive tax increases that will have a profound impact on their lives. The fire department continues to burn a hole in taxpayer pockets. 5 years ago, we were promised a new contract that would save taxpayers millions of dollars in overtime expense. We were told that new OPEB provisions in the contract would reduce health care expenses by 30%. Councilors Howe, Sinappi, Travis, and McAllister used extraordinary measures to try to get the contract ratified as soon as possible, days before Christmas. I, along with many others, including Councilman Lattisaw, testified that the terms of that contract would not save taxpayers any money and that the OPEB provisions were illegal. Today, because of the contract provisions, the new norm for annual firefighter overtime is $4.5 million, even when the department contains more firefighters than past fire chiefs have testified over the last 20 years. At full complement, firefighter overtime was under $2 million. There simply is no justification for these overtime levels. When will Howe, Sinappi, Travis, and McAllister take responsibility for that disastrous contract? And until they do, how can anybody believe that they are serving the best interest of Warwick taxpayers in holding down expenses in the budget? We can't. They have no credibility. Council President McAllister also admonished a taxpayer, Barry Cook, here for asking questions about future borrowing and the effect it would have on taxpayers. Mayor Picozzi writes in his budget address that there will be significant costs for new school borrowing and promised to not, quote, impose too great a burden on those who live on the financial margins, unquote. How do you do that when you refuse to disclose to taxpayers the impact of property taxes borrowing will have? This isn't rocket science.
Mr. Cushman.
Nothing prohibits the mayor from directing the finance director to perform this challenge, to perform this analysis. We can no longer go year to year and wait for a crisis to hit and then focus on it. The reason I'm here today is not to employ you to make changes to this budget. I believe that's a waste of time. I'm confident that you're going to fail to do that. My purpose is to go on the record to forecast the financial crisis that this city will hit, that will hit this city soon, and you can't claim you were not warned. And when this crisis hits, I will be the first one to come up here and stand at the podium and read your names into the record because you need to be held responsible for the fiscal disaster that you let occur on your watch. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Rob C.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. For several years in a row at the council budget hearings, I've asked Mr. McAllister relative to the fire department if he knew how many sick days there were I won't ask him again because I know he doesn't read the contract and he doesn't do the analysis. But I will remind him and Mr. Howe how they bragged that the new Boston schedule would save $600,000. Steve, you remember that? You put your hammer down. It's going to save $600,000. Mr. Howe, same thing. And we told you, myself and Mr. Cushman, not a chance. Well, I want to congratulate the fire department for another world record. The previous world record was 1,653 sick days. And they said, well, that's because we have men out. Well, now they have more than a full complement. And this year, I know you guys don't know because you don't do the research, but the simple fifth grade math indicates 1,858.7499 sick days. How they get that thousandth of a decimal? That's another story. So when you look at it, and I have all the documentation on sick days for several years, going back to 2015, but if you just look at the last 5 years and you look at the firefighters that have taken 20, 25, 30 sick days every year, it's the same group of guys. And if you spend a few minutes and you go on Google and you look around on Facebook, you know what they all have in common? Other jobs. That's a fact. If I had more time, I'd read their names out, but that's for another day. So the contract specifically states that if a firefighter takes out 2 sick days in a row, that the city may require a doctor's note. I wonder how many doctor's notes have been taken during a 1,858.7499 sick days. Probably none, because you know and we know, but you guys don't have the integrity to do anything about it. It's a scam. And what the facts of the matter show, and the data shows, immediately when the unused sick time stopped, they started a revolving sick out. Those are the facts. Now, it can only be one or two things. Either, and I've said this before, we have an extremely unhealthy fire department that are taking this many sick days, or it's a scam. So which is it, right? It's one or the other. It can't be anything else. But now when you look at the national average of sick days per firefighter, Warwick is 4 times higher than the national average of sick days for firefighters. How can that possibly be? How do we get guys? I know if I had a guy working for me that every year took 25 sick days, he'd be canned in a minute. But that's what we have. And then we got a chief who gives himself an $11,000 raise. An assistant chief who gives his sister-in-law a $10,000 raise. And you guys do nothing about it. Nothing. You know, in the last 4 years, we've gone through $1.4 billion of expenditures during the budget hearings. And the guy from Ward 4 hasn't been able to develop a question about 10 cents worth of expenditures. Why is Mr. McElroy here? He doesn't ask any questions on behalf of his residents, his constituents. Sleep at the wheel. Just let it go. This is why we got in this position that we're in now. You know, I don't understand how you guys allow this to take place. It's a scheme that has been going on for years, and nothing is done about it. Mr. Schaefer gives himself a raise last year. I can remember when he said, we have to cut some positions in the finance department. We don't have enough work. But then we hired other people full-time, put some people on part-time, and gave people raises. And now we want to balance the budget by an expected $2.5 million worth of revenue that we're going to get from speed cameras.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Cody.
It hasn't even passed city council. So we're going to have flock cameras, facial recognition cameras, speed cameras, stop sign cameras. We're going to balance all the raises on the backs of the people in Warwick. I think this council needs to do some soul searching and maybe take some basic finance classes, because you people are bankrupting the community. And I'm going to say it again, as Mr. Cushman said, I've been building schools for 30 years. There is no way that you're going to build the 2 schools as presented to the general public for $350 million. No possible way that will happen. Mark my words.
Thank you. The next speaker is Jim I.
Kind of feel like I was here just a couple days ago.
Which, by the way, Mr. President, you did say at last meeting that there was going to be an open time for question. You did not say it was going to be limited. I just want to remind you of your own words. I had asked, I had beseeched my ward people, my city council, my mayor, to please, in this 3 or 4 days since we last got together, to come up with some ideas about budget cutting. And I'm really looking forward to your innovative ideas that you've come up with in the last 100 hours. I was amazed that by the time I was standing here last time, by the time I went and sat down, my wife had had a list of things that we could cut out of our budget that was this long. I didn't even realize she could write that quick. So I'm hoping that between the 10 or 12 of you, that you can come up with a list at least as long as my wife's in a few nanoseconds. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Douglas S.
Just want to address the city council. I'm a lifeguard at McDermott Pool. I've been there for 3 years. I'm also a lifeguard in the city of Delray, Florida, and I've been there for 3 years. In Florida, all of us are trained with Narcan, nasal Narcan, and I would like to see the city of Warwick, McDermott Pool, lifeguards, have the training, which is probably provided by the fire department, and the use in case of emergency. In Florida, I've seen the emergencies. Police and fire cannot arrive on time. We're the safety factor there at the pool, and that's the only reason I'm standing in front of this mic tonight. I'd like to see that happen. Thanks.
Thank you. The next speaker is Darlene N.
Hi, I'm Darlene Netco, Ward 7, lifelong resident of Warwick, homeowner, taxpayer, teacher of 36 years in the classroom, president of the Warwick Teachers Union. I like living in Warwick. I've lived here all my life. We have good services in Warwick. We have a good police department, a good fire department. We have a trash collection. Live in another city or town in this state, you don't get that. We have streetlights. These things cost money. And I'm willing to pay my taxes to have those services. And I'm willing to pay my taxes to have good services regarding the schools. The other night, Mr. Howe brought up the unfunded mandates that our school budget is forced to include. And I won't read off that whole list. You can listen to the meeting from the other night. But we're spending an awful lot of money for things that RIDE requires that we do, and that the federal government requires that we do. And that's why the budget gets to be the way it is. And regarding the new schools are going to bring more people into this city. Right now, we lose students to North Kingston and Ponagansett and other places that got that RIDE approved pathways for before Warwick got its act together under the previous superintendent. The current administration has its act together and is getting new pathways approved every day for Warwick. Unfortunately, when our students decide because there's a better field in North Kingston or a better field in Ponagansett, they're going to go there, our money goes and follows them. And that we have RIDE to thank for also. But these new schools, whether there's debate about how much they're going to cost in the future, the voters voted for them. And the city took a good long time to approve that bond to make sure that what they were seeing was feasible. And if you look around this city, you see new houses being built every day. Go down Kilvert Street. I drive Kilvert Street every day. Every day there seems to be a new project going up. That will bring new people into the city. The older people are downsizing and younger families are moving in with kids. Our school system is growing and we want the appropriate schools for them to work to send their school, their kids to. Tollgate suffered three elemental disasters this year. Wind, the roof came off. Water, a radiator exploded. We had a flood that closed the building down for 2 weeks. We had to do distance learning. And 2 days after the explosion of the radiator, there was a transformer fire in the library that caused smoke damage. Pilgrim was built on a swamp. These schools cannot be kept up to code. The new schools are necessary to provide the proper education for our kids. The school budget is appropriate for what we need in order to provide the curriculum, et cetera, et cetera. And I only have 5 minutes, so I don't want to go over. I said a lot the other night. Mr. Howe said a lot. The school department finance officer said a lot, justifying why the school budget needs to be what it is. So, as I said from the top, I appreciate our fire, I appreciate our police, I appreciate all of our public works. Go to another city or town with a lower tax rate and have none of those services.
You have 1 minute, Ms. Necco.
Thanks. I'm done.
Thank you. The next speaker is Barry C.
Thank you. Barry Cook, 20-year resident, president of the World Taxpayers Association. I just have two brief comments I want to make. I know you guys are tired of hearing me say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. During the 70s and into the 80s, I was a councilman in East Providence. We struggled with the same kinds of questions, issues, problems that you're struggling with. Same issues with the fire department, overtime, firemen doing roofing and siding, calling out sick. We had all that. I don't know if there's an easy solution to that. That's for you to work with. But what I wanted to point out tonight is there's a concept called zero-based budgeting. Some of you may be familiar with it. Some of you may not be familiar with it. There are cities and towns across the country that make this part of their budget process. And an easy way to describe it is, rather than come forward each year with a budget that you present to the mayor or to the city manager and they present to the council, all they do in the past is, well, I had a $5 million budget last year. I'm going to add 4% to it this year. And I'm going to present that as my new budget for next year. In other words, no one is required to go back and re-justify certain aspects of their budget. So I had suggested it back in the 70s. I know it was before my time. You know, it was my idea, and I had read about it. And it sounded really good to me, and I got nowhere with it. I'll leave it with you folks tonight for you to look into. My guesses are you'll get nowhere with it. But zero-based budgeting, when used properly, requires department heads and managers to take a look at what they did this year and make sure what they did this year is applicable to what's going to happen in the next year. Don't just keep adding 3 or 4% on to what you spent last year. The other thing it ends up requiring is, you don't get to a position where I'm at the end of the year and have $150,000 left in my budget. Let me find a way to spend that money so next year they won't take it away from me. Because next year you're going to be required under zero-based budgeting to re-justify your expenditures. So I'll leave that with you folks. That's a quick synopsis. There are 100 books in the library if you choose to learn about it. It's online if you choose to learn about it. It's there if you don't want to learn about it. Just a suggestion. Another problem that we struggled with, and you're struggling with, and the city will struggle with forever, is in Rhode Island, the school committees can't raise taxes. So they just come to you people. And guess who raises the taxes? Guess who has to decide on the budget? Guess who has to cut out extracurricular activities? Guess who has to say there'll be no field trips? You tell them that, and then they bring the PTA in, and every child in the city comes in behind them, and then you reinstate what you said you were going to cut. So that was a battle I fought back then, too. It'll never happen. But wouldn't it be nice if the school committees were responsible for raising their own revenues? Wouldn't it be nice if they were the final say on how they raise $180 million or 52% of our budget? Wouldn't it be nice if that was their responsibility? And what do you think might happen with subsequent budgets? I'll let you think about that. So I have no other comments to make.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Cook.
Thank you. I have no other comments to make. I made them the other evening. I'll close by saying we need to have a more sound fiscal management in this city. We have to stop spending, 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 and spending. That's up to you folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up on the agenda is the budget items. Number one is PCR 48-24. Okay, so we had a 7-hour budget hearing on Monday. We were asked questions to the administration and among ourselves here. So I do want to give the administration, if they have any remarks, want to give them an opportunity. And then how this process goes is council members will get recognized and they will make an amendment. So I want you to read your amendment, get a second, and then come back and explain amendments and stuff like that. So you don't want to go into it already. You got to lay out what you're looking for, wait and get a second. Once you get a second, then you can explain your reasoning for proposing the amendments. But I do want to give the mayor and the administration an opportunity at this time. Mayor Picozzi.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to open this quickly. I won't take much of your time, but I've gotten some feedback that some members of the council were concerned, or maybe can't hear you. I'm sorry. How's that? Hello? Okay. Okay, I've gotten some feedback that some of the council members were either concerned or unhappy that I've included projected revenue and the possibility of traffic cameras into the budget. If I've made any feel like I've been presumptuous or stepped on toes, it certainly wasn't my intention. I apologize to you for that. I think you should know over the last 3.5 years, I've shown this council a high regard and a lot of respect. This is not something new. In all of my previous budgets, we put in assumed revenue that hadn't been realized yet, most notably the sale of school properties, former school properties, and they were far, far greater amounts. The schools didn't even have a for sale sign on them. We had to make a guesstimate of what revenue would bring in. We put it into the budget. They had to go through a bid process. The bid had to come to the city council. They had to approve whether it was enough money or even if he even wanted to sell it. So it's pretty much the same thing that we've been doing. It's not new. Revenue is all assumptions. The state budget hasn't been passed. We don't really know what we're going to get from state aid, if it's going to increase, decrease. The collection rate might come in different. We may get revenue from other sources. There's a couple of different ways you can handle this. You can vote to increase the levy, which would increase the taxes, the tax increase this year. I'm not a fan of that one. You could take the $1.3 million out of fund balance, also not a fan. Or you can try to make cuts here of $1.3 million, which would be very difficult to do. If we don't realize that revenue during the course of the year, my finance director and I can look for ways in the budget to cut, take small bites and small cuts so we don't cut services. Or what I recommend or I even ask is that you have faith and confidence in us that we can do this job as we've been doing. And if we don't realize the $1.3 million, which actually I'm very confident is going to pass, A speaker before said it was 2.5 million. I don't know where that came from. It's 1.3. In talking with council members individually, there is support for this program. The police have done a lot of work on it. That'll be coming to you. But as I said, what I would ask you to do is just leave it to us. Show some faith and competences. I think we've earned that over the last 3.5 years with you. Do you have anything to add, Peter? Thank you.
Thank you. And Solicitor Walsh made a good point that we also want to take up PCR 49-24, resolution adopting the budget and setting the tax rates of the city of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning June 1st, 2024, and ending June 30th, 2025. So at this time, I'm going to look for members of the council. Again, state your amendment. We'll look for a second, and then we'll come back to whoever's making the amendment to make comments on that, and then we'll open it up for members of the council to give their thoughts and concerns or ideas on the amendment that is proposed. So at this time, I would like to propose an amendment. It has four parts in it, so I'm going to read off each amendment. I'll look to see if I can get a second, and then I will explain what I'm looking to do. First up is reduce the revenue municipal court fines line item by $1.3 million. This is Department 100-0512, reduced, that's on page 62. Also, as part of this amendment, I would like to increase the municipal court salary line to add an additional judge. That is Department 27, line 27-101 by $15,000. That's on page 12. I would like to increase the police night program, which is line 30-140 by $45,000. That's on page 25. And I would like to increase the Public Works Highway General Services line item, which is 63380 by $90,000. And I would like to increase the Public Works Field Maintenance Materials line item, which is 70281 by $250,000. So I know that's a lot. I'm gonna say it one more time. I would reduce the revenue of municipal court fines line item by $1.3 million. I am looking to increase the municipal court salaries line item by $15,000. I'm looking to increase the police night program line item by $45,000. And I am looking to increase the public works field maintenance materials by $250,000. Okay. And pay for it with the property tax levy. So first, do I have a second? Second by Councilman Ricks and Councilman Foley, Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis. Okay. So I will give my positions and then open it up to members of the council. I respect the mayor, the way that he came and spoke on the revenue of the municipal court fines. I think it's putting the court jumping ahead. I think if this had come a couple weeks before, we would give the council a little more knowing. We there's just so many factors that we just don't know at this point. We don't know who the vendors are going to be. We don't know who the how many cameras, where they're going to go, what the policy is. All that is to come, and I understand that. And if and when the administration presents this and makes their case and the council votes for it, the revenue could come in and it could offset everything that we're doing and In the end, it could be a non-issue. But that is my position on that. A couple other priorities that I'm looking to do is add another municipal court judge, the same process that we have now. If in the future there is additional activity in the municipal court, we may need another judge. And so I would like to see a line item for that. The police night program, that is a program that the police department has for when we get additional calls. We get a lot of calls on speeding in the neighborhoods, traffic violations, stuff like that. This allows the police department to put those streets or that neighborhood on a list, and they can kind of do some extra patrols, and it helps with the funding for that. So we're not taking away from another program. It has not been given any additional funds in a number of years, and each ward is represented in that. So that's one of the things I'm supporting on this. The other two big ones here are the $90,000 for Public Works Highway General Services. And if this amendment were to go through, I'm happy to talk with the administration on finding the line items and homes for all this if the treasurer has some concerns. But I thought the way that, and it was to the mayor, had the idea of having this ARPA funds to the council for the individual wards. And we had a website, and we had public hearings and public meetings, and heard, got emails from individuals, residents, to the individual council people looking for smaller but important projects. And it was great. We had federal funds, and we know that those federal funds are running out. But I was just really impressed. The administration did a great job. I mean, this was additional funds that came in, but not additional personnel to do this. But they were able to do that. And I think the council was able to advocate with, they were here directly from the constituents on a project or two that was really important to them. Now, we all had $200,000 of federal money. I don't think that's something we can do. I also don't think that we could add on a huge amount of work to the day-to-day of our city employees. But I was thinking that $10,000 per ward, that's the $90,000 figure, that we could continue to do these smaller projects that, you know, an association, a community association, or a neighborhood has really been looking for and asking for. And it kind of gives everybody an opportunity to say, okay, you know, the DPW is working hard on these huge projects and taking care of our roads and doing stuff like this. But if we say, you know, hey, we have some funding here, we'd really like to get in another, you know, buy another sign that flashes your traffic and your speed in a school zone, or I've done welcome neighborhoods, or fix a basketball hoop in the community, different projects like that. I just thought it was an excellent excellent idea by Mayor Picozzi of utilizing these ARPA funds, and the community was able to participate. I did a mailing on it. You know, we got lots of, we still have the website up if you're looking, if any money left over for that. So I thought it would be a good practice on a smaller scale. So that's why I proposed that amount. And finally, in my 4 points here is field maintenance, public works, field maintenance, and maintenance materials. We have heard, and I'm going to let Councilman Gephardt, who is kind of gave me this idea. You know, we have heard from the residents of Warwick that, you know, over the next couple of years, when these new schools are going to be built, that the fields are going to be, they're being built on the field. So we're going to need the residents, the students, to go on different things. One of the projects is the track at Warwick Vet School. I think it may be a good idea, and my proposal is to have $250,000 within the city side of Warwick and say, listen, we are interested. We've heard you. We want to help out to improve the track, to improve the fields. We may, it may be more, it may cost more than $250,000, but maybe our friends in the school department can come in and partner up. I think it's a very unique idea. It's not just handing over additional funds to the school department, because we all understand we can say we want this $5 to go this way, but the school department can say, okay, and take it and then spend it any which way. This gives the city some extra cushion, but we're all one city, whether we're the school department, the city council, the mayor's office, students, whether you have students in the schools or not, we are all one city and all one community. So I thought this was an excellent idea from one of my colleagues. I thought it was a creative idea that keeps everything. It's like, hey, we want to try. We want to be part of it. Here's one way to do that. So I don't want to use up my 10 minutes. That is my proposal and my explanation. It has been seconded, and I'm happy to open it up to council members who would like to talk. And I'm going to go with Councilman Gephardt first.
Thank you, Council President. So, generally in favor of what we have here, what you've proposed, I agree in the cautious approach on the cameras. We certainly don't want to give the perception to the public or amongst ourselves that this is a foregone conclusion. There's some gravity to this decision, and we want to make the decision with both eyes open and not feel like we're backed into a corner. So definitely support this approach. In terms of the smaller line items, I agree. I think both the night program and the ARPA projects are direct benefit that go directly to the residents. At the end of the day, it's a rounding error in this budget. And then I think that the big ticket item here is, the context for me on this is, both as a parent with kids that play sports, also as a board member of Warwick PAL, the number one complaint that we get is that there is a lack of fields, of appropriate fields in this city to support the athletics that we have going on. And I know we've got a longer term plan. If you look, a few years out, there's monies in future plans for Mickey Stevens. But the issue with the fields exists today. And the day they break ground on these new schools, the issue gets 10 times worse. And so we're trying to be proactive here. We heard the school department come and say, hey, this is one of the projects that, they have foresight in this as well. We're not trying to break the bank here and raise taxes, to a level that's unsustainable. However, this is a way that I feel like we can all chip in. This, again, is a direct benefit to many of our residents. Folks have grandkids that play sports. Folks have kids who play sports. The kids, this is a direct benefit to the youth. It also, ensures that we can help direct the spending to the priority that, that we've identified here on the council. And so I would ask you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I also support the 4 points that you have brought up. And just to follow up on Councilman Gephardt's comments, I like the idea of putting that money into the DPW budget to fix or maintain or better maintain the track at Vets. One of the and I love the $90,000, $10,000 per ward. One of the projects that we were asked about in Ward 1, and we used the ARPA money to do it, was a walking track around North Country Club Field. Since that track has been open, I do not think there's been a day. Now, we opened it in the winter, per se, that track has not been used. The neighborhood, the people are constantly out there walking, It's enjoyable. I think the vet track needs to be kept up so that the neighbors and the city, the residents, can make use of that. And I will be supporting as presented.
Thank you. Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had spoken my piece on this $1.3 million Monday night regarding those speed cameras, and I haven't changed my opinion on that at all. I think that was very presumptuous, and I have concerns with something being approved that, let alone vote on it, hasn't even been presented to us. We have no idea what these cameras are going to do, include, where they're going to be, how they're going to be used, how are they going to be calibrated, et cetera. But I found it particularly concerning for the rationale of the cameras as a revenue generator, as opposed to a safety issue, as opposed to protecting the kids at the schools, as opposed to keeping people safer from flying down the roads at 20, 30 miles an hour over the speed limits. And I know that wasn't the intent, but that's the perception that came across to me and some of the folks that reached out to me. This isn't the same as saying, okay, last year we had X dollars and cents coming in from the state, and we anticipate this year we're going to have a little more or a little less. This isn't the same thing. It's a brand new item, brand new. And if we approve the budget with this in it, what happens if it doesn't get approved? What happens if it doesn't come to be because you can't get the cameras? Or we don't have enough of them, we need more of them. Or we don't appreciate or like the way the information is going to be stored on those cameras. I can't support something that hasn't even been vetted initially before this city council. That's what we're here for. The other items, I will support those other items. I think they're all well intended. I think they're needed. I will also again point out the lack of urgency, I guess, because there certainly is no urgency to do up the Mickey Stevens Sport Complex. There's a $7 million bond been sitting out there since Mayor Avedisian was here. And we heard the other night it's still sitting there, and obviously, and according to testimony, it won't be used for anything else but. It's troubling that that type of money is sitting there waiting to be used, and now we're talking about a track that's not so good. We're talking about a tennis court that's not so good. We're talking about other things, you know, that are not so good. But yet, there's never been a sense of urgency or enough sense of need to use that money that the voters approved to do anything with those, with that Mickey Stevens Sports Complex. So that continues to be a concern. That's where I am on this item. The question I would have, Mr. President, is I may have missed where you want to or what you want to do as far as how are you going to eliminate that $1.3 million out of the revenue?
I'm reducing the revenue municipal court fines. That's the line item we're taking it from, $1.3 okay. million. That's where it was.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I fully support this amendment. My colleagues have already discussed at length the $1.3 million. I don't think that it's the intention of the administration or anyone on this council that if automated speed cameras were approved, that that would be for the purpose of raising revenue. I'm not going to go into the merits of that now because it's not before us, and I don't want us to get into any trouble with the Open Meetings Act. I'll save that discussion for if and when it comes up before us. But speaking directly as to that revenue, yeah, we don't want to have this in the budget before the substantive item actually comes before us. We don't want to presume that that money is going to be there and put pressure on ourselves that if we don't later approve it, then there's going to be a $1.3 million hole in the budget. So I think it's good for public transparency and good for us as a council to remove that particular item. I'm also in support of the additional funding for the municipal court judge position, especially if it becomes necessary. It's good for us to, there is certainly a distinction here too between assuming revenue and planning ahead for contingency of a potential expenditure. The $45,000 for the night program, I know that the council president and I, we had discussed this previously, and then at the earlier budget hearing and presentation, I had asked the police department for information on the history. They had gotten back to me, and I believe that every year since fiscal year 2014, it had been at that amount of $45,000, with one exception in which the amount had been reduced to $30,000. But the program goes back to fiscal year 2007. I don't believe that we were able to recover information quickly on the amount back in 07, but suffice to say, there has certainly been inflation these last 10 years. This is an important program. I think it's very much money well spent to have the police officers have that little bit of additional time at all of those various locations across all 9 wards, making sure that we have that speeding and stop sign enforcement to improve quality of life in the neighborhood, improve safety in the neighborhoods. So I am absolutely fully in support of that investment. The next item is the $90,000 for line item 63-380, general services in the DPW, intended for those types of city council expenditures. In my years on the city council, I'm sure that I've had similar experience to many others, where under different administrations, not intending to criticize this administration, it's a matter of the dynamics between any city council and any mayor, and I saw that play out especially with mayors Avedisian and Solomon alike, where if I wanted to advocate for a particular improvement in Ward 2, I would sometimes be met with, well, councilman, you voted on the budget. Where in the budget are you going to find it? Find the money for that particular priority, whether it was a sign being put up or a city-owned gate being replaced or whatever the relatively minor expenditure would happen to be. Well, if we have $10,000 per ward, then for these relatively small expenses, now we have an answer for that. And these are the types of things that really do make a difference for so many constituents. It's money well spent, and when we can make those little improvements on those things that so many people see every day, it gives people pride in their city. It lets people know that the neighborhoods are not being ignored. The last item, I'd like to commend the council president and Councilman Gebhardt for their innovation here. I think that the allocation of $250,000 towards fixing the track at Warwick Vets, so long as, of course, there is that cooperation between the school department and the city on that, also very much what money well spent. We saw in some emails that were forwarded to us earlier the photos of that track at Warwick Vets. We received additional information from the school department and otherwise confirming that, yes, other schools are also going to be relying on that track. We can all see the need there. I would support a total of $500,000 for that track, which is the estimated amount that it would take to fully fix, or rather repair and replace it as necessary. But I'm going to make a motion a little bit later. I think that this is an excellent start. And even if my motion does not gather support, the necessary support to pass, then for those reasons, I'm not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good here. Thank you.